Welcome back to Cinema Vino. That particular theme makes me wish that I was on a beach drinking something out of a coconut.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You put the lime in the coconut.
Right? Or perhaps pulling some sort of a thing out of the bottom of a shaving cream can.
Ooh.
And handing it off for money.
Dodson?
You know what? Mm-hmm. You'd be really good at that.
Yeah, that'd be my part.
Yeah.
See, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
So tonight we're going to discuss Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
Across the Eighth Dimension.
Across the Eighth Dimension.
That
it does
true.
Have a full title. I'm guilty of abbreviating the title, but this is Sean's pick. And then Sean likes Cabernet.
I do.
And so we're going to drink some Cabernet, and we're going to talk about both.
Uh-huh.
So I'll do a brief Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension intro. And the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. And then we'll let Sean talk a lot. So, because this is his movie. So Buckaroo Banzai was released August 15th, 1984, 17 million dollar budget, which was huge for that time period.
Damn.
Yeah. That's like not quite Return of the Jedi level, but that's a big budget for that time period. A lot of pictures were made around 10 million, 5 to 10. So this was ample. The first Mad Max movie, to put that in perspective, was made for $400,000.
But the first Mad Max movie was like a upstart kind of like no name, like shoestring, total bootstrap director.
And then clocked in at just under $100 million gross. So it was in Guinness for a while as the most profitable movie ever made.
How did this one gross?
This one made $6.3 million worldwide.
Oy vey.
Big old flop.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
They got $3.99 from me when I had to rent it off Amazon. So
It was streaming like 2 months ago.
I know.
And yeah, they've definitely recouped that on home video rentals since then. So
have they?
it's a huge cult film.
I
can see.
Yeah. It's been rented many, many times over by a lot of fans. It's developed a following on VHS.
Of which I'm one.
Yeah.
I don't have it on VHS, obviously.
Yeah.
And obviously.
And I had never seen it. So
yeah,
this was a first for me. I'd always heard about it. You know, it's one of those things that it always had been off my radar.
And I think that's why I picked this one, not because obviously it's not the best movie in the world, but it's definitely one that nobody, it's not on everybody's radar.
Mm-hmm. And it has its weird charm.
Uh-huh.
So I would call this a sci-fi action comedy. Is that fair? Post-apocalyptic?
It's pre-apocalyptic.
Pre-apocalyptic. It's weird. It's like prebiotic and I don't know the difference.
It's very 80s. It had a weird obsession with like rock music and science. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Medical and space.
Germans.
For some reason.
Or whatever.
It was based on like the pulp hero Buckaroo Banzai. And that's when like basically Batman is another pulp hero where he's like detective, you know, kung fu master, ninja,
sexy
magician.
Billionaire.
You know, same thing with Buckaroo Banzai. He's, you know, brain surgeon. Rock,
brain surgeon. And then, he's a musician.
Into space shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stunt test car driver.
Yeah,
he's got an entourage.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
which struck me as very Elvis, very Memphis Mafia. You know, because Elvis had those people. You know, they were basically like in his shadow, but they're TCB is what he called it, like take care of business. Like, y'all go out and get me some more ring dings. Go on, get there. It's like, sure, King, get on it.
Gotcha.
You know, there's whatever he needed. You know, I mean, anything. They were true, like, gophers. You know, it's like, why don't you get me 100 copies of People Magazine? It's like, okay, we'll get it. You know, and that's kind of how this is the Hong Kong Cavaliers. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, that seems like these guys, they're like his TCB people. You know, it's like, you know, whatever you need, we got it.
Yep. There's so much, there's a lot of weird, we'll get into it. But the Hong Kong Cavaliers is just, why?
I'll say my piece later, but I agree. But I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I was like, I love it. But a lot of confusion, but yes, I was here for that though.
So Todd, do you want to give us the rundown?
So the official name for what Buckaroo Banzai is called polymath or Renaissance man. Somebody who basically can wear a lot of hats.
I dated a girl who was polymath.
Oh, really? Interesting. So
did I.
Multiple, like, they're probably handy to cheat on geometry, algebra with.
Yeah.
You know.
And algebra.
So played by Peter Weller,
RoboCop,
who came to fame as the original OG RoboCop
in, 3 years after this movie.
Yeah. So, so this is the first thing I ever saw him in, or like chronologically. I've never seen anything before this. So I don't know if he was anything, but this has got to be like his first big production pre RoboCop. So basically it is an alien invasion film. You have the red Electroids, who are kind of like a catcher's mitt, cross alien looking people crossed with like French bread, crossed with kind of, I don't know, like old saddle leather.
I just love the sentence Electroids from the 10th planet by way of the 8th dimension.
Yeah.
Like, I love that entire sentence.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like they're cross streets galactically. But so they're invading, Buckaroo Banzai basically has to thwart them. And, also he develops technology that allows him to pass into the 8th dimension, which has a lot of interesting special effects there. There's a lot of interesting,
A lot of floating stock footage in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So it's pretty trippy. And he meets Ellen Barkin, who plays Penny Pretty.
Yeah.
And so she...
He has excellent hearing, by the way.
He does.
Can hear her like, in the middle. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. Is somebody crying? Is
somebody in the audience during this rock show is crying?
What's that line from The Simpsons? Like, that sounds like a pig fainting.
Yeah.
You can hear birthday cake. It says half.
Like, that's amazing.
Birthday.
Yeah. And so, you know, she is the... Like a... Twin,
long lost twin of his late wife.
Yeah, that's where I was like, "What in the holy hell is going on?" In this?
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right, that's a nice soap opera twist.
Happened to be crying in the bar that he was playing, and he overheard it. Stopped the show, put a spotlight on her. Wait a minute, I hear somebody crying out there.
Yeah,
he gets a redo. Like basically, he, you know, his wife dies. He gets to take out the cartridge, blow on it, and stick it back in. And he's like, all right.
It's like in Beer Fest when Dump Truck dies.
Yeah.
And then Dump Truck's twin brother comes in. He's like,
I'm his twin brother.
I'm his twin brother. Yeah. Out of respect for Dump Truck, I want all of you to call me Dump Truck.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's got a little bit of, what was it, Drake Ramore feel to it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And his twin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely an interesting, like, soap opera twist.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Big production. I mean, impressive for like, I mean, special effects are cheesy, but I can't evaluate them for what they were at the time. But like a lot of like, you know, costumes, you could tell they spent a lot of money on everything, the music and the look and feel of the movie.
Yeah, $17 million in 1984.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes a long way.
That's probably 50, 60 plus now.
And well, so. And what's wild is the director of this movie had never directed a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can see from his career that makes any sense for why he got this movie was he helped write the adaptation for Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I cannot explain why some studio was like, you want $17 million? Here you go.
Oh, I can. Cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's somebody looking up with a big old white powder on the end of their nose somewhere.
What is this? He goes to space. It's not space. It's another dimension. And then space comes.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Do it.
Yeah. Do it. Do it.
Do it. Who's in it? I don't know those people. Do it.
Here's like, a blank check. I've signed it. It is yours now.
It reminds me of the concert documentary, The Last Waltz, with Neil Young. Supposedly, he had a giant globule of cocaine in his nose. They had to
big old booger sugar.
Yeah. Post-production, they had to get that thing off of his nose. So I just picture some executive somewhere with a giant white like glob at the end of their nose, like just signing this thing off.
Yeah.
So I think any weird 80s movie you can assign to just rich Colombian cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that's how that happened.
And thank God it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great cast. I mean, and this also applies to the movie we're going to do next, Con Air. Roger Ebert's thing was always like, is this movie as or more interesting than being at the rap party with the cast? You know, hanging out with them backstage. Con Air would be a hell of a movie to sit back there with that crew.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
This movie had an excellent cast.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And when they were young.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yeah. This came out a year before Back to the Future. So Christopher Lloyd, who knows?
Boutte.
Dr. Big Boutte.
Yeah.
It came out 3 years before RoboCop.
Yeah.
So Weller's, like, where was he? I think the biggest name in this... I don't know. I don't know who
the biggest name. The Fly was. Hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, The Fly hadn't come out yet. Third Rock from the Sun hadn't come out yet.
Mm-mm. Had Earth Girls or Easy or whatever. What, I think
not yet. I don't think
was Mm-mm. in that first. No. Okay.
And Lithgow, I think he was in World According to Garp with Robin Williams, and
like that was 2 years prior.
Yeah, and there's another one. I'm thinking I can't.
You're probably thinking of Harry and the Hendersons, but that came out later.
Ooh, yeah.
But like, surely no one was like, John Lithgow's going to carry this film.
No.
But it's amazing to look back and think that he had like main supporting actor billing in this.
Yeah.
Can I just say one of my favorite characters in this was Rawhide, played by Clancy Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
Love Clancy Brown.
I love it. Like, you've seen him in everything, but you can never remember his name like right off the top.
That's the thing. This movie had like a rogues gallery of who's who of character actors from the 80s and 90s, but it was all before they were famous.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this director, because this director straight up, this casting was golden. I mean, start to finish, every single casting like of the main people in this movie are amazing. Even the supporting actors all turned out to be amazing character actors in Hollywood all through the 80s and 90s.
Even the people that you don't like you don't know their names, you'll recognize tons of them.
Oh, God, why do I know that guy?
It's like you've seen a dozen movies with them in it.
Bill Hindley played the helicopter pilot. He was the only other thing I think I had seen him in was City Slickers, where he and his like son were the dentists, and they were like,
"Oh my
we can
God.
Take him back." Like,
that's son, awesome.
We have medical training. We're, we're dentists. He was like, "Yeah, come on, it'll be fun." Like, oh, I know. Well, now I want to watch City Slickers.
And it's got Dan Hedaya, who was in Cheers. It was Carla's husband. Also, he was in the Addams Family, because I believe his wife in the movie marries Fester, or fake marries Fester. Uncle Fester? Could be. I don't know. You'll have to look at a picture of him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
But yeah, he plays one of the John aliens. I can't remember what his name was.
Is he the one with the really dark circles under his eyes?
Yeah. Well, no. You're talking about the weird looking dude.
Uh-huh. That's another character actor that you see in a ton of stuff. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
He was in Ghost. Yeah, he was the weirdo on the subway in Ghost, like the weird ghost.
He's also the son of Igor from Young Frankenstein, that guy.
He's in one,
I believe so.
One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest. He's one of the patients in the asylum in Cuckoo's Nest. He's in Batman Returns. He's the organ grinder.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I know all this like immediately?
Yes, but I love it.
He stands out though. He's it was like, oh my God, that's the same guy. He's so unique.
Yeah, he's the dude in Ghost that teaches him how to like move bottle caps.
Yeah.
Like you got to get mad and hit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he's a James Bond. He's in, I think it was the second Pierce Brosnan one. He's like the weird, like, doctor or scientist or whatever that, like, you know, is going to torture him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. Is he?
Yeah, Trav's pulling him up right now.
Vincent Schiavelli?
Yeah. He is. Yeah. Oh, my God. He is. He takes pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a bitch, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
He's got, like, all the weird tools.
In the hotel? Yeah.
And that's,
in what movie?
I think it's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies. Yeah, it was him.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty spot on casting.
Fuck, like, it really wasn't.
God. We need a weirdo mad scientist.
Yeah.
Just like, get me that guy.
He was in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and it's like, that reminds me, I think it was like William Holden, the famous actor, was used as an example of like the scale of Hollywood, like your life, you're like, basically your lifespan in Hollywood as an actor. And it's like, basically, it's imagined from the point of view of a production guy. It's like, you know, who is William Holden? And then it's like, you know, get me William Holden for this part. And then it's like, get me the next William Holden, only cheaper. And then it's like, you know, get me, then all it finishes off like, who is William Holden? And it's like, it goes all the way back around.
Yeah.
I feel like this guy, you know, is like the, who is that guy? You know, really get out of that phase. But it's like a lot of these actors, like you can see them starting off on that first question and working their
and
way.
And then you become like, discount that guy, and discount that guy, and finally you just become that guy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Schiavelli is not related to Marty Feldman, Igor, and Young Frankenstein. That was, somebody told me that. They're fucking liars. I apologize.
Yeah, I thought you, I mean, it makes sense that he would be in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believed it.
Yeah.
I was you could have just not said anything. We could have just believed you.
Just rolled with it.
Then we would have been fact checked.
But guys, all of our fans would
hit
the comments.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Start a flame war in the comments. Can't do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Tay. What were your thoughts?
Well, I told Sean earlier that I'm still processing it. I'm not really sure what. So I watched it twice. The first time I kind of zoned out and I was like, oh, I put it on. And we kind of had a delay of the podcast. And I was like, well, I'm going to watch it again. And I watched it again and I was like, what in? Honestly, I liked it a lot more the second time. Yeah. And again, I kind of focused, but I also kind of was zoning in and out again.
It's not dialogue heavy, but if you look away,
it
twists constantly and you'll be somewhere completely different.
Well, and I was like, wait, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, oh my, but I will say this.
Why is Jeff Goldblum a cowboy?
Exactly. But
yeah.
I will say,
there's a snake in my boot. Yeah.
You said it perfectly. They spared no expense on the costumes, on, I guess, special effects. But it's like, but just like the electronics, I mean, like they actually, I was like, they spent some money on this.
Okay,
like they,
hold on. Their vehicle was just like a Ford F-350 painted black with like some tubes on it. And they were just like, it's the space vehicle.
Tubes ain't cheap.
Yeah.
And
it was like,
it's like, and John Lithgow, whatever he was doing early on in the movie, just sucking on electronics. And I was like, what in the hell is happening?
Just tasing himself.
Yeah. Oh, and then, yeah, that was Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad.
And that's the first
orderly.
Yes.
Yeah. The guy in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it's weird because he has hair in that.
Yeah, I was going through the IMDb and I was like, wait, he was in this?
Yeah.
I was go back Beverly and I was like, Hills Cop right just before I came here.
I forgot. That was a good sequel too. But I would have been very upset, I believe, if I saw it at the time. I would have been like, what the hell? I think that was in the 80s. There was those times of those films that were going on. The best part of the film was the music montage. And that rock, I was like, you know what? This just screams 80s right now. Like a full band. Because you know probably all those people wanted to be musicians at some point. You know, or they're very artistic. So they're like, well, let's go in there and play stage. You know, let's be musicians too, right? Wouldn't that be badass?
Yeah. Like,
no need for that. Yeah. It's just a time filler. Except for, you know, but he did say, it's like, hold on, is somebody not having fun? That was when he first started off, and then he was like, is somebody crying?
No.
And I was like, what in the hell?
Does he have super hearing?
Yeah. It was, to me, this is like the Planet Nine from Outer Space.
Planet Nine from Outer Space.
In the sense of, I cannot believe they were taking this seriously.
Yeah.
When they were doing it. Like
surely they weren't.
Yeah.
Though, right? I don't think they were.
But see, and that's the thing, is like, cause you were like Planet Nine, like they were, I mean, that he thought he was the greatest director of all
drunk
time.
Drunk on themselves.
Yeah. It was like, and I was like, there's no way they can take this seriously. But at the same time, I was like, I think I took it as like, they are, like, they're trying to make this film, trying to make it into a series, you know, and I could be completely wrong, but I was like, man, this actually could work now. It was like at the time, I know why it didn't do anything.
I think that's what makes it a cult classic.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm sure a bunch of studios have been like, man, should we do this? But doesn't that also make the original that much more like interesting? Because no one's touched it since.
Well, they've tried to do like other pulp heroes, like The Phantom with Billy Zane, and then they did, you know, obviously they had better success with Zorro. But who else did they try and... Oh,
The Shadow?
The Shadow with Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, yeah. The Spirit. Nobody remembers.
I think you made that up.
In the same vein of Sin City. And this one was directed by Frank Miller.
Yeah, I mean...
He didn't create the character, but
pulpy,
it was...
Pulpy, but it's not like that same vein of pulpy. Like, I don't know. I think because it's an ensemble cast, you get more out of it. Like, you see almost no time on Buckaroo Banzai himself. I mean, it's almost most of the time is spent on John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Like just doing John Lithgow things and Christopher Lloyd just like flipping him off in the background.
I loved the entourage. Mm-hmm. Like I loved all of them. Like, I don't know why I thought that was the coolest
thing. The Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I remember when the first time I watched it and like they pulled up like the whole story and I was like, boy, it's one of those films where they're like, they were in my mind, they're like, well, they're filming it. And they're like, well, you know what? We didn't really explain some of this stuff. Let's just put it on the begin credits.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll just start, like, you know, it's like, kind of like a Star Wars. It's like, let's just
can do it. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It made me feel like I could be a part of the crew. Like, I would show up and they were like, all right, well, hey, you're Skippy now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we're Skippy. He does that one thing. We're like, hey, Buck needs me. I got to get in there and do the Skippy thing.
I love that we got to see Jeff Goldblum get inducted into it. Like, he brought him on, brought Buckaroo on as like a consultant for a brain surgery. And then afterwards, Buckaroo Banzai was like, hey, do you want to join the group?
Yeah.
And he was like, what? You want me to join the band? Like, he thought he was joining a band. Like, he showed up. He was, like, in costume. He was like, all right, you told me to meet here. I practiced some keyboard solos. I'm ready to do this. And he's like, all right, let's go solve some crime. And he's like, what?
So the blonde guy, Was that his right hand man, kind of?
Oh, Mr. Perfect?
Yeah, Mr. Perfect. That Pretty was it. Ricky. He was like, yeah, because he asked for his jacket at one point, and he was like, why? He's like, because you're perfect.
Perfect Tony? What was his name?
Perfect Tony. Something like that.
Perfect Tony sounds right.
So the first thing I thought of when I was like,
Perfect Tommy.
Perfect Tommy.
Like, played by Lewis Smith.
With the bleached hair, I thought, man, this is so Fight Club. And I was like, this is oh, like, yeah. You had like the right hand man mm-hmm. is like, it's got the bleached hair. I don't know. But I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would, the first time I'm still wrapping my head around it.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I would watch it again. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, yeah. I mean, I bought the damn thing. And yeah. I was like, so, but I
did you buy or rent?
I bought it actually.
Oh,
yeah. So,
how's that? $14.99?
$14.99. So now I own this. I was like, so I'm
so proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to set my phone up and I'm just going to like record it. I'm just going to stream it on YouTube. Just the shitty recording of it.
Just do your reactions.
Oh yeah.
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 Anyway, I don't even know how I would begin to rate this, but I would say it is worth the watch.
Yes.
That is my big, it is definitely and worth the watch.
Definitely. If you're a cult film person who is into these movies where it's like, you know, the off the beaten path movies. This is definitely one you got to scratch off the list at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth watching once. I don't know if I would watch it again like soon, but it might be like I might visit in 5 to 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Because they were supposed to already have the sequel out.
I admire the ballsiness of that.
The World Crime Unit. Was that end of it?
Something like that.
But I was telling Sean earlier, I was just like, you know, it's reminded me of Clerks. The very, you know, like 94. Mm-hmm. And at the end credit, it said, stand by or, you know, coming soon, Clerks 2, barely clerking or something like that. Yeah. 20 years later, he did Clerks 2. And I was just like, so, hey, we're still waiting on that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we can wait.
It's the James Bond. It's you know, because it's like, you know, James Bond will return in Thunderball.
Yeah.
You know, I like the fact that they're making Buckaroo Banzai.
It is ambitious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting.
It's like, no, we're not thinking about if. We're thinking about when. Yeah.
Do you sequel. Think the studio had like handed them a check and they're like, all right, I'm ready for the sequel.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay.
Didn't they say at the end of Infinity War, didn't it say Thanos will return instead of the Avengers will return?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if I made that up in my head or not.
That sounds right.
But I also thought of this, like, what if they gave him the check for $17 million? He was like, hey, yeah, we're going to do a series on this. We want like 3 films. Here's $17 million. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, he said 3 films. Why just did it all into this one? It's like, well, we're done. That's all we got.
I think there was some miscommunication.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry. I thought this was just for the one movie.
Yeah.
I picture the guy looking up like, oh, and like his whole face is white from cocaine.
Yeah.
You meant 3 films. Oh, man. It's like powdered donuts all over his face.
Man, now I want some powdered donuts.
Yeah.
Travis, what'd you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like I said, I saw a lot of parallels to other pulp heroes that are like, try anything and they're really good at it. Like, Tom Strong and then like Doc Savage. Guys like that. So I saw a lot of those parallels. I love John Lithgow in this. I thought he was fucking hilarious. I love Jeff Goldblum. And out of all of Buckaroo's like henchmen, his gang, Rawhide, Clancy Brown was realest brother in the game.
No.
Got killed.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
I know. That was
it hurt.
That almost had a little bit of a Deadpool death where it's like, is he, like, it was kind of a drawn out thing. It's like, is he going? Or is he going to?
He had an arachnoid on him or an octopus. It looked like Starro.
Yeah.
It just lasted so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to come back?
They kept cutting back, cutting away, cutting back. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. And then I think he went on, I think his next movie was like Highlander, I'm guessing.
Ooh.
I know he was in the first Highlander.
Did he get beheaded in that one? I don't remember.
I think everyone got beheaded.
Yeah, a lot of people get beheaded in Highlander. Yep. So that was a bit much for a 10-year-old little version of me watching, you know, what was his name, Christopher Lambert chopping people's heads off.
Wow. Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah.
Ramirez.
Yeah. Man, you talk about somebody who was cashing a paycheck. Sean Connery and Highlander 1. It's like, there can be only one.
But it's such an iconic line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was phoning it in. I mean, he was full on Marlon Brando. But
some of those other Highlander movies just not great. Uh-oh. I think I saw the first 2, and then I think I saw 5, and it just wasn't.
You saw 1 and 2, and you skipped on to 5.
Mario Van Peebles shows up at some point.
Highlander was 2 years later.
Hmm. Okay,
but yeah, Clancy Brown was in it.
So Sean, Your thoughts. Okay. When was the first time you saw this movie?
I think I probably saw this movie in maybe 2012, 2013. Watched it in college. It is like a slow burn. It kind of has to sit in the back of your head just like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah.
And it kind of like plants itself there. And then, you know, 5 years later, you'll be thinking about something. You're like, man, I want to watch that again. That was just like, it was fun. It was goofy. And you want to show it to people and you want to get their feelings on it because it is goofy.
I mean,
Peter Weller, for some reason, in this movie is supposed to be half Japanese, half American or half Dutch. He is neither of those things. I mean,
no.
What? It's the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
None of them
are from Hong Kong.
No.
You've got Big Boute. All of the aliens are named John.
But because none of the actors are actually Electroids.
Is it John Big Boute?
John Big Boute.
Okay.
Yeah. John Big Booty. John Littleberries. Just, you know, somebody in the writer's room is just like cracking up laughing.
Yeah.
Just, okay. What's the next one? It's so, it makes no sense. I love it. There's musical numbers. And much like the last movie we watched, The Lion and Winter, had an iconic score with it.
Oh, yeah.
This movie ended with a music video of them walking through,
pre-Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so apparently the song hadn't been written yet when they shot that. So they actually just shot that with a different song in the background. They just at the same tempo and then they had to match the tempo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, that's where we get all these like now wedding photos of everybody walking like in a line. Yeah.
It's so 80s. It's just like this MIDI like person on a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning sounds.
Probably a Casio keyboard.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
I picture a little bit, again, second Friends reference in this episode is Ross and his keyboard just like look like wordless sound poems.
But yeah, there's just so much to love about this movie. It's just fun. It's, you know, my problem with a lot of movies is I'll watch it once and I'm like, yeah, I don't need to watch that again. This, I can watch it and I want to either immediately watch it again and like reabsorb it, or I want to come back to it later, and I definitely keep coming back to this movie.
Yeah.
So for that reason, this is one of my favorite movies all time. You know, and it's one that not a lot of people have heard of. It is a cult classic. I think Roger Ebert reviewed it and really loved it.
Yeah.
He didn't give it stars because he didn't review it at the time, and I think he was coming back to it as like a cult classic. And I think he's kind of the same mind that Taylor was. He's like, I don't know how to rate this, but I liked it.
I didn't either. I didn't know how to rate it.
Yeah. It defies rating.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I said. I thought the plot defies description. It's like, I don't know what to give this. And so it's like, I'll give it 3 out of 5 for now. I want to double back around to it later.
The people of 1984 TBD. Couldn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't say it's good, but you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, everybody will see something and they're like, oh man, I know that guy from this and this and this. Like, I was looking at IMDb, the president in this is the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark whose face melts off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The evil Nazi at the end.
Yeah.
I did like the president scenes. Like when he was in the contraption or whatever, I was just like,
inexplicably had a back injury.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay with this.
The Secretary of Defense personally grabs a pistol and goes to investigate this. And he's like, oh man, I got to cover up the fact that I just paid a whole bunch of aliens to develop this thing.
I would say the star rating changes throughout the entire film because like, you know, I was like, 2 star, 1 star. But when the very end, when he, you know, spoiler alert, when he's like in the parachute, just dropping down, I was like 5 stars.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, and it's so nonchalant, just waving. And
just
I was
waving
like,
at the alien like, that just zooms what? Off.
I'm here for this. And I was like 5 stars, fuck it. And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
100%.
Star rating changes every scene,
which is why you can't rate it.
Exactly.
There's I didn't know Peter Weller from any movie other than RoboCop. Really. Mm-hmm. And then I think he's been in the second Star Trek movie, the J.J. Abrams,
the bad guy.
But I realized there is one other film I watched, and I just looked it up. It's the film he did right before Buckaroo Banzai. It's a film called Of Unknown Origin. So if you're in a fix and want more Peter Weller, it's a story about a guy whose wife and I think daughter leave to go on vacation, and he's got to stay in work. And somehow he comes across like some baby rats and like kills him. He's like, oh no, we got to get rid of this infestation. Pisses off the mother rat, who turns out to be huge, and then starts harassing him in his house. I think it kills his cat. This rat gets larger and larger and larger. It's a fucking crazy movie about a guy fighting a huge rat in his house. That's it. Of unknown origin.
And I've lived that before.
Oh, yeah.
That's been my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Peter Weller has voiced Batman in a number of animated
movies. I knew he did some voice
animated
work.
Movies.
Oh, he did the Dark Knight Returns,
I think. Knight Returns Part 1. And Part 2. Also, Batman The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. And so we're drinking Revelry Cab. So this is Sean's pick. We're drinking Cabernet, your favorite wine.
Yep.
And so you can share why you love Cab. What makes you love it?
I'm someone who usually favors more boozy things. So usually bigger body. I like a lot of whiskeys. I just tend to favor cabs. You know, it's something with a little bit more full stout. Body. It's more stout. It warms you up a bit.
Yeah. And it goes with like stout meals, big, hearty meals. So
I like a steak.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, Cabernets have the biggest.
Sous vide, a nice ribeye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Any like red meat you can do a Cabernet with. And yeah, you can age a cab more than you can age other wines. You know, they have that, you know, most potential for aging. So they're just the classic red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Big, dry, full-bodied. And so, yeah, the Revelry is a great one for $20. So
yeah,
I like that a lot. I don't know what you guys thought.
Very tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It was nice. It was
lovely.
So what would we give Buckaroo Banzai, scaling 1 to 10? We'll start with Tay. Or out of 5 stars, either way.
Well, we'll just do a scale of, you know, 1 to 10. And I'm going to say it, to me, deserves a full star rating. I'm not going to give a half. I would say right now, after watching it about 24 hours ago, I would give it, for watchability, not for directing, acting, whatever, watchability, at least a 7. It was like, just because it's, I would recommend at least everyone watching it at least once.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's how I'm rating it. Be like, you have to watch this. Whether you hate it or not, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
So that, and that's why I'd give it probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking 6 or 6.5. It's like I said, it was lovely to watch. You know, it's not going to be one that I watch yearly, but it's definitely worth it for like the cult status and seeing all these, you know, big stars way back when they were just getting their start. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Sean.
So there was a memed Facebook thread from maybe 5-10 years ago of this guy on Facebook talking about, I think, the movie Pulp Fiction. And he was talking about how it was a perfect movie. And then he ended up rating it 5 out of 7. And someone was like, "But you said it was perfect." And he's like, "Yeah, it's like a perfect 5 out of 7. And it's like, first of all, who rates anything out of 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Secondly,
like
if
that.
It's perfect, it's 7 out of 7.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's like, "It's a perfect 5 out of 7. And honestly, I think that's just where this lands.
That is
like,
perfect.
It's inexplicable.
Yeah.
No.
It's perfect. Inexplicable is the only adjective for this movie. And it's a perfect 5 out of 7.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because, you can't put it on a 10 scale.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable, but I like it.
It reminds me, was it Seth MacFarlane playing Ryan Lochte on SNL? And he's like, "I liked it. I give it 4 swims. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably think differently, and I say this in my review too, is that I would think differently if I had watched it either as a kid or in college. You know, I think that definitely alters the way you see it, something like this.
Uh-huh.
I'd have a different perspective on it than I did now.
Oh, agree.
You either don't know or you're drunk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's like kind of how I liked Monty Python growing up. Then we really got into it in college. You know, we really started watching the movies and stuff. And that was kind of our bored, like nothing going on stuff. We'd watch Monty Python.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that definitely changed the way I saw Monty Python, you know. And people now may not see the same way, but I love Holy Grail and I love all the, you know, the TV show, the episodes and everything. I mean, it's like, I love all that stuff. And so I think when you watch it, where you watch it definitely taints or affects your view of the movie. And that's kind of how I feel about this.
It's
I'm looking at this, maybe I'm too old. I don't know. Maybe I'm too grouchy. You know,
you got to have some nostalgia. You got to be removed from it a little bit. You got to be, there's a lot of perfect storms to watch this movie. And, you know, a lot of times it just doesn't hit.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, maybe now is not the best time. I enjoyed it. I'm going to have to watch it again, and maybe there'll be a time, maybe when Noah's old enough to watch this and we go back and watch it together, you know, that may be a thing.
Big bootay.
Yeah, big bootay.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm looking forward to watching, like, Star Wars again with him and like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and, you know, Spider-Man. All that. I'm looking forward to that. So,
yeah,
seeing how watching that with him changes my opinion of those movies. You know, because it's kind of like watching them for the first time. You know, that's what they always say about, like, when you have kids, Christmas changes. It's like you're a kid again. You get to see that from that perspective. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what, like, watching these movies is like the next time around.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So what was your star rating?
I would 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. 6.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Consensus.
Yeah. So there we are. So this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Be sure and tune in next time. We're going to do Con Air.
Damn right.
That's Taste Pick.
Whoop, whoop.
And, you know, Joe, my wife and I, we watched that last night, and she was rolling laughing. Oh, yeah. Rolling.
It is an explosion of fun.
Yes. And I was like, this is the classic Tay movie.
Oh,
this,
yeah.
This is his style. So
beautiful.
Yes. It's awesome. So, yeah, you guys be sure to tune in next time.
Bye.
Love you. You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.